live from the Poly Market Studio in L.A. It's the Young Turks. Turks, Jake Ugranek is sparing with you guys. Big show ahead. Lots of outrage as always. Democrats, Republicans. Now we have pre-crime. You know how it was in the movies? It's real now. So it's by the way, targeted at your kids. So in different counties, if your kids have gotten bad grades or things along those lines, they will be targeted by law enforcement and their lives will be ruined. So fun. Okay, there is a tiny bit of fun in the show though. In one of the commercial breaks, not in the main show, but in the commercial breaks, I'm kidding. We have a fun story of a nun stealing all sorts of money and gambling. That's our idea of fun here. But during one of the commercial breaks, I will be featured in one of the ads, so it'll be fun. Check that out, and we might ask you to vote on it. Not we might, we will. All right, but anyways, lots of stories to get to.
All right. Democrats are going after one of their own, Representative Ilhan Omar, after she asked a perfectly legitimate question to Anthony Blinken, who is the Secretary of State. Now, the question had to do with the investigations pertaining to war crimes that have been committed by various organizations or various governments. And so the critical statement, there was a critical statement following the, hold on, let's take that down. There was a critical statement by her colleagues following the exchange that you're about to watch right now with Representative Omar and Anthony Blinken. Take a look.
I know you oppose the court's investigation in both Palestine and in Afghanistan. I haven't seen any evidence in either cases that domestic courts can both can and will prosecute alleged war crimes and crimes against humanity. And I would emphasize that in Israel and Palestine, this includes crimes committed by both the Israeli security forces and Hamas. In Afghanistan, it includes crimes committed by the Afghan national government and the Taliban. So in both of these cases, if domestic courts can't or won't pursue justice, and we oppose the ICC, where do we think the victims of these supposed crimes can go for justice?
So that was an important question to ask because the International Criminal Court, which wants to probe the Israeli government for possible war crimes against the Palestinian people in Gaza, is something that the United States government, the Biden administration specifically, does not support. So she's trying to ask, well, if you don't agree with the International Criminal Court investigating this, and we can't rely on domestic governments to investigate their own war crimes, then how do you propose we do these investigations? And that very question offended several dozens of her own colleagues, and I'll tell you who in just a minute. But Cenk, go ahead.
Yeah, first, the context is really important there. And you just saw the context. It's in the context of specific cases of the International Criminal Court. Now, as Anna's gonna tell you, they will pretend that that context did not exist. So I will go further than Ilhan Omar, but she did not go that far. She explained exactly what she meant. And those are cases that are being adjudicated. So I want you to understand that as you see how they're going to mangle what she said as usual.
So following that exchange with Blinken, and of course Blinken gave a non-answer to it. It's not even worth showing, to be quite honest with you, but you can check it out online. Following that exchange, she tweeted the following: "We must have the same level of accountability and justice for all victims of crimes against humanity. We have seen unthinkable atrocities committed by the United States, Hamas, Israel, Afghanistan, and the Taliban. I ask Secretary Blinken, where people are supposed to go for justice." Now, following that, 12 Democratic lawmakers decided to sign a statement condemning Representative Omar for her statement, which, by the way, is completely accurate. Okay, and the reason why they're upset is because they feel that it's wrong to compare the United States and the Israeli government to Hamas and the Taliban. So these 25 Jewish Democrats in the House of Representatives had signed this letter. The 25 members of-
No, I just want to be clear about it. 12 wound up signing.
I'm sorry, 12 did, my bad. But 25 of them had gotten together to figure out what they wanted to do moving forward with Ilhan Omar.
And Anna, I just right before the show got an excellent source from inside DC that explained that some of those 25 actually fought back and wanted to protect Ilhan Omar. But we'll get to that in a second. Let's see what the 12 said.
Right, as I mentioned, 25 get together. They're trying to figure out how to, I guess, tackle this issue. And in the end, 12 of them had agreed to sign a public statement. And this is what the public statement said. Equating the United States and Israel to Hamas and the Taliban is as offensive as it is misguided, the 12 Democrats wrote in the statement, adding that false equivalencies give cover to terrorist groups. And Congressman Brad Sherman actually took it a step further by releasing another statement where he says this, "It's not news that Ilhan Omar would make outrageous and clearly false statements about America and Israel. What's newsworthy is that she admits Hamas is guilty of unspeakable atrocities. It's time for all of Israel's detractors to condemn Hamas, and it is time for all those of goodwill to reject any moral equivalency between the United States and Israel on one hand, and Hamas and the Taliban on the other." So, the United States has committed war crimes. We've committed war crimes fairly recently, under Donald Trump, certainly under the Obama administration. Obama conducted a drone strike on a US citizen with no due process. He murdered a US citizen using a drone strike and then killed his 16-year-old son using a drone strike as well. I mean, you can go back decades and talk about how the United States orchestrated coups in various countries, including Guatemala, on behalf of business interests here in the United States. That led to the slaughter of countless indigenous people, not just in Guatemala, but in other Latin American countries. I know that we like to pretend that in the US, whenever we commit war crimes, it's okay because we do it to spread democracy. But we know what the reality of the situation is, and we can't pretend as if our actions are totally fine, even when it leads to countless deaths, which we later refer to as collateral damage.
Is Brad Sherman your congressperson?
Yeah, Brad Sherman is my congressperson. Certainly will not be voting for him. I hope that he gets primaried.
Interesting about that. All right, so I have a lot to say about this, but first I want to tell you about the good folks who fought back. Okay. So look, there's rising anti-Semitism in the country, and I don't want any progressive to conflate the issues we have with Israeli foreign policy, Israeli policy, and American policy with anything else. So yes, it was reported that 25 Jewish Democrats got together to talk, but you have to understand a lot of people in the room did not want to sign the statement, and more than half of them did not sign it. And in fact, some people in the room argued vociferously against it. So I want to be careful, so I'm going to read this statement I have from a well-placed source in DC. They say that Jamie Raskin was reportedly approached, and according to someone at the meeting, declined to be part of the effort and asked whether the point was to advance international law and human rights or to give people another chance to take a shot at Ilhan. Raskin declined comment. So Jamie Raskin was in that meeting, and apparently he was one of the people who fought back vigorously and said this is a really bad idea. So understand some of the top progressives of the country, some of the top Democrats in the country, including on this issue, are Jewish Democrats. So God bless Jamie Raskin for doing that. Now, let's get to the core of the issue. Ilhan Omar had a great tweet about this. She said, basically, like, oh, you guys are all my colleagues when you need my vote.
We have that tweet.
Yeah, let's go to it, and then I want to give you more context.
Yeah, so she specifically called them out. There we go. It's shameful for colleagues who call me when they need my support to now put out a statement asking for clarification and not just call. The Islamophobic tropes in the statement are offensive. The constant harassment and silencing from the signers of this letter is unbearable. And I'm glad that she's fighting back against it because she's calling it what it is. She didn't say anything that was inaccurate.
Yeah. So now, if you're a United States congressperson and either you saw the video we showed you of Ilhan Omar putting it into context and you chose to smear her instead and you never even called her for clarification, or and you used her tweet as an excuse, or you saw her tweet and you didn't bother calling her, hey, Ilhan, what did you mean by this? My dear colleague, when I come to you for votes on corporate issues that my backers want, I always go, oh, my colleague, and Ilhan Omar and AOC and all the other Justice Democrats, you don't want to upset your colleagues. We're your friends and allies, etc. But you can, even if you didn't see the video and you missed the entire context, you had a whole meeting. Some people in the meeting said that they knew the context and they defended her. So you knew, and you chose to smear her anyway. So don't come around here with colleagues. And so the guys who smeared her are, of course, more conservative Democrats. Of course! By the way, God knows what they're covering up and why they wanted to distract with this issue. And it is a giant distraction. And by the way, hurts their own party. So now it gives the Republicans an opening to say, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Ilhan Omar, I can't tell the difference. Now we can show you the facts, the context, we can show you everything. Now she's talking about a specific case in the International Criminal Court. Marjorie Taylor Greene is talking about Jewish space lasers. But these Democrats, what happened to unity, by the way? These are conservative Democrats who are supposed to be like, oh, unity, unity, unity. Only if they want their priorities, which are almost always corporate priorities, right? But when it comes to any other issue, they're like, oh, Kevin McCarthy, Mitch McConnell, Donald Trump, how can we help you?
Totally.
How can we help you destroy our own party? Because we don't give a damn about unity. All we care about is the people who pay our checks, the campaign contributions. That's why uncorrupted politicians like Ilhan Omar, all the Just Democrats, and Jamie Raskin are so important. And to the point that she was making about covering up war crimes. They say, oh, how could you say this about our beloved America and Israel? We have court systems that adjudicate this, unlike Hamas. And we were elected in a democracy. Well, it's uncomfortable, but Hamas was elected. And then as soon as they were elected, we said, oh, that one doesn't count. We don't like it if you pick the guy we didn't want, right? But more importantly, what court system? What fairness? So remember the Apache helicopter video that Chelsea Manning exposed? Well, she was put in jail for it, but no one who actually murdered those journalists in Iraq, those are Americans, none of them went to jail. Kirkow exposed that we were torturing people in the CIA, he went to jail for exposing it. None of the torturers went to jail, none, let alone the bank bailouts if we're talking about other domestic issues where none of the bankers who crashed our economy went to jail, because our justice system is a joke. It protects the rich, it protects the powerful, and most of all, it protects corporations that run this whole country, right? And their executives and the people that they donate to. So, and if you look here, and I'll give you an example about Israel now. In Israel, they say, well, if you have deeds from hundreds of years ago saying that something is your property or your house, you're allowed to go and brutalize Palestinians that are there. So we're using the court system, And then we Palestinians go and say, okay, well, here was my deed to my house pre-1948. I was in that house in 1948, and there's no question it's my house. Here's the deed. The Israeli court system says, no, you're a Palestinian, you don't count. You're not allowed to use your deeds. You're not allowed to have property disputes. You don't count. So let's just be real and honest. Now, last thing is I'll go further than Ilhan Omar. So I don't think it's just the international court cases. Yes, I mean, Brad Sherman and the rest, they have some point. There is a false equivalency. Israel kills way more innocent Palestinians than Hamas kills innocent Israelis. I don't want either side killing anyone innocent, any civilian at all. And they're like, oh yeah, do you condemn Hamas? That's the easiest thing in the world. Of course we condemn people when they hit innocent civilians. And they say, ha, okay, so good, you condemn Hamas. Well, do you condemn Israel when they kill 10 times, 20 times as many innocent civilians, including children. No, no, they're beloved. Okay, well, your bias is screaming through. And so the people who have a problem are not Ilhan Omar who are calling out the facts. It's the people who are intensely hypocritical, very conservative while being in the Democratic Party. And that is destroying the credibility of the Democratic Party. And their foreign policy objectives are hideous. And their attacks at fellow Democrats are unconscionable.
All right, let's get to our next story because it looks like the progressives in Congress are finally waking up and planning on fighting back against some of these concessions that the Biden administration is willing to give to the GOP. So, progressive members of the House of Representatives are now considering potentially holding their vote on Biden's infrastructure bill should he decide to give up key provisions pertaining to climate change. Now, this all started after the National Climate Advisor Gina McCarthy suggested that climate policies proposed in Biden's original American Jobs Plan, that's the infrastructure bill, such as a clean electricity standard, could be left on the cutting room floor as the president seeks a compromise deal with a bipartisan group of senators. Now, Biden has moved on from working with a group of GOP senators because maybe he finally realized that they were negotiating in bad faith. Now he's working with a bipartisan group of senators who are also negotiating in bad faith because they don't want to raise any taxes on the rich in order to raise revenue to pay for the infrastructure bill. But nonetheless, in response to that, you finally have some Democratic lawmakers who are saying, no, not going to vote for this unless it includes these key provisions on climate change. Martin Henrick is one example who said an infrastructure package that goes light on climate and energy and clean energy should not count on every Democratic vote. Ed Markey was even more clear by saying that he would not vote for it. No climate, no deal. Obviously, he's from the Senate. And Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez also said that Biden and Senate Democrats should take a step back and ask themselves if playing patty cake with GOP senators is really worth the dismantling of people's voting rights, setting the planet on fire, allowing massive corporations and the wealthy to not pay their fair share of taxes, etc. So, it seems like they're threatening to hold their vote as a block. And if they do that, understand that they have the leverage, right? The legislation would not pass in the House if progressive members of Congress did decide to hold their vote as a block. Now, whether or not they're actually going to do it is another question, but I do like that they're at least thinking about doing that and at least thinking about using the leverage they do have to get some of the concessions that progressives deserve and need.
Yeah, and it goes beyond that too. But first, I want to say, told you. And this is not to go, oh yeah, I'm a talk show host who got it right, yay me, okay? I do that plenty, don't get me wrong. But in this case, it has a very important point. We said that Biden didn't really want to do the Green New Deal parts of the infrastructure bill and that he would take it out. And we were told, no, Cenk, Anna, Young Trish, you guys don't understand. You're being hysterical. Biden is FDR 2.0. And he's definitely, he said it. Well, when a politician says something, they obviously mean it, right? No, no, not obviously. Now, why did we say that he wasn't going to do it? Because we know Biden's track history. We know what drives politics. What drives politics is the donors. And the donors don't want the Green New Deal part of it. They never wanted it. They don't want it now. Under no circumstances do they want it. We told you they would keep the parts that would help only corporations. And so right now, what is the Republican proposal that they're negotiating over? They're negotiating over how do we privatize these roads and do tolls and different gas tax, etc., to make sure Americans pay for it. Romney and the other Republicans are insisting no taxes ever for any corporations or the rich. We're not going to allow a single cent to be raised from that. I told you, I told you, I told you. Now Manchin, and not just Manchin, don't let Biden hide behind Manchin. Biden is going, wow, okay, well, and now that's a second I told you. I said to you that the Democrats, if they were lucky, would get to between 800 billion and 1.1 trillion. And even though he had proposed 2.2 to 2.3 trillion. Oh, Cenk, how do you know? You don't know, you're being so unfair to Biden. Well, I do know. How do I know? I'm not a mind reader. Chris Coons, his top ally in the Senate. God, is there a single reporter in Washington? Chris Coons comes out on television and says $800 billion. That's a Democrat from Delaware. When he says that, that means they're very likely going to end up at around $800 billion. Right now, they're discussing $900 billion. Told you, it's not at all complicated. You can figure it out too. And our audience is 1,000 times smarter and often does talk about that way better than any reporter. Now, the most important part of all this is that means you should fight back. We asked you to fight back earlier because we knew that he wasn't gonna do $15 minimum wage, and I can go down the list, including this, right? Now, the great news is they are. So if you wanna push them when they're not fighting, great, that's smart and strategic politics. When they are fighting, if you still say, oh no, not good enough, yeah, just Democrats are the worst. Well, now it looks like you were trying to destroy progressives, because right now they're doing the right thing. AOC and the rest are saying, no, no deal. Now, even Ed Markey, no deal. Jamal Bowman, no deal, no deal. We're not gonna give you our vote. The one more thing, when they say no deal, they say, well, you know what they're gonna do, and this is upcoming now. I'm gonna tell you ahead of time about this. Now you will see a slew of articles in the next couple of days and weeks where the mainstream media, the corporate media, will back the corporate Democrats. They'll say, tut, 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 these justice Democrats and this squad, how dare they? They could kill this whole bill. Is a half a loaf is better than no loaf at all? That's actually not true. Actually, the majority of the Republican proposal, and by the way, when Biden says yes, he's taking the Republican proposal, not the Democratic proposal. The Republican proposal, most of it is taking the COVID relief bill that they bragged about and repurposing it. That's most of the money. And then they're gonna sprinkle a little bit on top, and that all goes to private corporations to rebuild the roads, and you pay for it. I don't even want that deal. That's not half a loaf. That goes backwards. That goes backwards and uses up money that was supposed to go to the American people for a different purpose. So every part of this stinks, and I love that the Justice Democrats are fighting back.
All right, so when we come back from the break, we'll discuss what's happening in New York and the efforts to pass a single payer healthcare system in that state. Unfortunately, there are the usual suspects who are fighting against it, but there are unusual suspects also fighting against it. We'll give you those details and more when we come back.
All right, back in the anchor, so many great comments. First of all, John Simon, thank you, brother. Just join by hitting the join button below. I'm gonna get back to that later in the show. Because we have an announcement about it. A little crabby dragon said in our member section, I can always count on TYT for clarity and digging deeper on every issue. I love all of you. Well, we love you too. Facta says, easy way to push Biden on climate change. Point out that we have been less than 5 years before devastating irreversible change. If he was in office for 4 of those years and did next to nothing, the American people will never forgive him. It doesn't matter. I love your brother, but nothing's gonna break through to him. He doesn't hear it. All he hears is corporations whispering in his ear, sweet nothings going, oh yeah, yeah, oh half a loaf is great, a quarter of a loaf, a negative loaf is great, it's great, it's great, Joe, you're such a hero. And then I can't help it. Like the people that frustrated me the most in that $15 minimum wage fight and that are now very, very, very slowly turning around are not the just Democrats in Congress. It's the progressive groups. All of them seeking access desperately. Oh my God, FDR 2.0. No, 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 he was never gonna do it. Half a loaf sucks, and it's not half a loaf. So anyway, you're not gonna get through to Biden. This presidency's already over. Make you see the silver hair dragon writes in, I do hope Omar does not apologize this time. She's correct to call out our and Israelis' violence and interference in other countries' politics. No, they've learned that lesson a long time ago. No, she's not at all apologizing. And her and the rest of the Just Democrats are fighting back super hard. Oh, by the way, Cori Bush was a great voice on that too. Tommy Too Strong says, the US and Israel's hands aren't clean, even when it comes to Hamas and the Taliban themselves. Israel helped create Hamas to oppose the PLO, and the US helped create the Taliban, the Mujahideen, to oppose the Soviet Union. Those are absolute facts. Of course, no one in mainstream media knows that, or they like to actively cover it up. Oh, Hamas, I don't know where they came from. What am I, a journalist? All right, now let me go to, speaking of foreign policy, let me go to YouTube Super Chat. Sean Umpley writes in, Anna and the TYT team nailed the coverage on the Peru election. I have friends who voted there and feel Castillo is the same as Biden. Not what they wanted, but better than the alternative. TYT rules.
Thank you. I really appreciate it because those stories, I go through a lot to make sure that I get the facts right. And you know, just to be open and honest with you guys, it's frustrating to go through all of that hard work, make sure I get the facts right, and then deal with former employees from this company trashing us based on nothing, and then people just believe what they have to say. So I appreciate that kind message, and that's what keeps me going.
100%, and it's so easy to lie about us. Anyway, that's a whole long story. They're the worst. All they do is try to profit off of their goddamn lies. Anyways, we gotta take a break. So many of you are so wonderful. We'll be right back and read a couple more comments. All right, back on the Young Turks. I just wanna give a shout out to a couple of YouTube Super Chat folks who are so nice with both their contributions and their comments. Sean Umpleby wrote in, TYT deserves the support. The TYT army earned it. We make TYT, keep it up team. We appreciate and love your hard work, Steel Dragon. Thank you guys, and you do. You absolutely make up TYT. There's a lot of lies about, where we get our money from. It's insanity. It's from you guys. So everybody who hits that join button, goes to tyt.com/change, etc. You are the ones who support us and make this show possible. We're nothing without you guys. And British 32 wrote in, hi Cenk and Anna, great combo as normal tonight. Do you think Omar, AOC, and Justice and Progressive Dems will use their votes as power now that more than double standards have been exposed again on a basic comment she made, TYT 2021. Thank you for the question. I just want to clarify real quick. Guys, we do nuance on TYT. We do it, we're proud of it, and it's the smart and right thing to do. So if the Just Democrats are, people are trying to force them into a nonsensical vote that doesn't make any sense, we're gonna say no. If people are forcing them into a vote that is desperately needed, like the $15 minimum wage, we're gonna say yes. So now when they call out the corporate Democrats, we say yes, that's awesome. But if at the end they cave and they give them their votes on a terrible bill, we'll say no. And we'll say that was wrong, because facts matter, they just do. And if you listen to people who say facts don't matter, only my emotions matter, and I'm gonna rage and call everyone else corrupt, etc., without any facts to back it up, well, that's your choice. But I love our audience, because you guys are smart and strategic just like that. All right, Anna.
Well, we have some news about a single payer healthcare system in New York. Unfortunately, there's a huge obstacle. So, the majority of lawmakers in New York's legislature actually support a bill that would change its healthcare system to a single payer healthcare system. It's very similar to what the bill in California in 2017 was attempting to do. Since we can't get single payer on a national level, California in 2017 thought, why don't we do it statewide? That effort failed, and now unfortunately it looks like this effort in New York State is set to fail as well. Not because the lawmakers are against it, but because there are two different groups of people actively fighting against it and preventing Democratic leadership in the state from even allowing a vote on it. So the bill, known as the New York Health Act, has passed the state assembly 5 times before. This year, the legislative session is coming to a close with the New York Health Act stuck in committee, not even having received a vote in the assembly. So why is that? What's going on? Well, as the Daily Poster reports, advocates say that under pressure from both insurance corporations and yes, labor unions, New York legislative leaders are not planning to hold an up or down vote on the measure before the legislative session ends on Thursday. So again, it's a popular bill among voters in New York. The state legislature overwhelmingly supports it. It would easily pass. But it's being held up in committee by Democratic leadership in that state as a result of private healthcare interests and labor unions, which Cenk, take it away.
Yeah, so look, again, this requires nuance. Unions are wonderful on so many different things. And when they take on big corporations and they organize, you get collective bargaining, which you desperately need, okay? On the other hand, recently in America, for whatever reason, and I'm gonna explain one of the reasons for you in this context. Unions have supported pro-corporate positions. And that is maddening, maddening. And I guess in a country that has runaway crony capitalism, maybe it's not that surprising. So, and Glenn Greenwald, I disagree with a lot of what he says recently, but half of what he says is still very good, and especially references to his old work. And he had this theory on rotating villains on Democrats, which I agreed with and wrote about over a decade ago. Okay, and now unions are beginning to do rotating villains. So in one state, we'll have the SEIU oppose single payer healthcare. And now in New York, they're the good guys and they're helping with single payer healthcare. Well, when they're the good guys, I'm super happy to have them. Great, right? By the way, there's one union that's always been the good guys. It's the nurses union. They've been wonderful on this issue. The best fighters on this issue. But here we are in New York. We picked a different union this time, the teachers.
Yeah, the United Federation of Teachers.
Yeah, I want to be specific. Thank you, Anna. Yes. United Federation of Teachers. Because do not lump everybody together. Do not lump all unions together, etc. Okay? But in this case, they are actively fighting against single payer healthcare, and it is swinging the balance. Because the Democrats have complete control in New York. Yeah, golly gee, they can't pass anything. And on this one, just like in California they had a super majority. And how do they prevent? And Wolfpack has gone through this 100 times on the issue of money in politics. And yes, it's almost always the Democrats now that block progress. And that doesn't let the Republicans off the hook. They're usually the bad guys as well, if not more. But it is democratically controlled states like New York and California where they can just pass anything they want and they choose not to. And the way that they do that is they go, well, we all agree except, oh golly gee, there's just one person in but he controls such an important committee and he won't let it out of committee. Oh, well, golly gee, he made it out of committee and everybody voted yes, but the assembly leader in California won't put it up for a vote. And on the issue of money in politics, constantly they won't put it up for a vote. Because if they put it up for a vote, then they're gonna have to say, oh yeah, I was lying the whole time. I actually serve my donors. I don't serve you at all. Eric Olson was a local progressive candidate in California, had the best quote on this. He said, we have a super majority. Who are we negotiating with? We're not negotiating with the Republicans. We're negotiating with our donors. That is exactly right. And in this case, why would the unions be against healthcare for everybody? Well, there's a very good reason why. They claim, their claims are already terrible, but there's actually another reason. They claim, well, we already negotiated good rates for our union members, so we don't want anybody else to have it. Oh God,
so let me be more specific, because that's not quite their argument. Yeah. What they are arguing, and I don't think it's a good argument, is that they negotiated healthcare plans on behalf of their workers, and that required maybe sacrificing wages to ensure that. So, but here's the thing. So, in the case of the New York City Municipal Labor Committee, right? This is the labor committee that's fighting aggressively against this effort to provide single payer healthcare. They're essentially saying, look, we're against this unless the bill is written in such a way that there are carve outs for our workers. So just understand that for a second. They're actually working against their workers in this scenario, because you would have a single payer healthcare system free at the point of service. You don't have to worry about deductibles. You don't have to worry about co-pays. You don't have to worry about premiums, okay? They want to ensure that their workers wouldn't get to benefit from that single payer healthcare system and would have to rely on the private health insurance that's provided by their employer, which clearly, based on how private insurance works, is nowhere near as good as a single payer healthcare plan would be.
So that's 100% right, with one caveat. I mean, that caveat is really important and we get to it in a second. But so following up on what Anna's saying, so those unionized workers, you are still better off under single payer. That's absolutely true, and I'm glad she clarified that. But the argument, the public argument that we negotiated for rates for a system that is not as good as single payer, but better than everyone else in this brutal system, is not a winning argument. That's an argument saying I'm a slightly above you on the totem pole, and I want to make sure that I stay that way. And again, that's a terrible argument. Second terrible part of their public argument is, well, we already negotiated that. Then why don't, now if we have single payer healthcare, you know what you would get to do? You would get to negotiate again, and this time argue for higher wages.
100%. In fact, it would be way easier to negotiate higher wages under a single payer healthcare system, because workers are not tethered to their job based on health insurance benefits. I mean, how many people want to leave, they want upward mobility, but they feel like, hey, I can't leave as a result of this healthcare system. I can't lose the healthcare coverage.
And you would, not only would you have healthcare for your workers, you would get to argue for higher wages, But you also gain leverage because they can leave, as Anna pointed out, right? So why would you make such a terrible argument in public? Because there's an even worse reason why they're actually against it. Because some of the unions have insurance that they are providing, not the employers. And that's what helps hook people into unions, because they are, generally speaking, good healthcare, right? So they think, well, then they might not want to join a union if they already have completely free healthcare that gets rid of the need to use our pretty good healthcare at the union. Oh, that, no, you cannot do that, man. That's in the union's self-interest, but that's not in the union members' self-interest. That's not in the workers' interest. It is brazenly corrupt, brazenly corrupt. We want to support the teachers so bad that we supported every teacher strike here, and they desperately needed those raises. And here comes their leadership in their unions saying, we don't want people to get healthcare because of our greed. It's unconscionable. And you really gotta give credit to and support excellent journalists like David Sirota.
And Julia Rock, who wrote this story,
yeah, in
the Daily Poster.
David started Daily Poster and Julia wrote that story. And there's others like Ryan Grimm, etc., who are progressive journalists who are unafraid to call out anybody, no matter what side they're on. And that is very rare. So understand that in New York, if you don't have single payer healthcare, it was both corporations, corrupt Democrats, and yes, unfortunately, some of the unions who screwed you here.
All right, we have a COVID vaccine related block coming up. I want to take the break a little early, get that out of the way. And when we come back, we'll discuss, yes, the lab leak story. It's developed to the point where I feel comfortable sharing the details without sharing any misinformation unwittingly. And then later in the same block, we'll also talk about some of the insane conspiracy theories that were shared in an Ohio State hearing about the COVID vaccine. Come right back.
All right, so I want to announce a membership change here at TYT. So we tried $1.99 level on YouTube channel memberships. Now at that price, we honestly lose money on it. There's a number of costs that go into it, etc. But we tried it for a while and then eventually became unsustainable. So we've taken that $1.99 off YouTube channel membership. But I want to explain to you guys that you have a couple more options. So first of all, a lot of people didn't even know that they were signing up for $1.99, which did not have the bonus episode as part of the membership benefits. And so now everybody who signs up gets membership benefits, at least at the introductory level, included, which includes the bonus episode that we do every single day. So you could, the folks who are at $1.99 on YouTube, please, if you can, join us at $4.99 or even better at $9.99, where you get even more privileges. And these privileges sounds weird. It's more videos, more content, etc. And we're gonna start doing AMAs and all these other wonderful things with our members, okay? But we decided to do a second thing because we know that some people just can't afford it and they're trying to support us in any way that they can, and we deeply, deeply appreciate that. So on our website, we've now offered up basically a subsidized $1.99. Okay, so part of it we're doing, but then we're gonna ask you guys to help subsidize it as well. Because for example, on Twitch, there's such a great community where they're constantly gifting subs to one another. And we know some people want membership. The good news about the $1.99 on our website is it gets the benefits of membership. So you will get the bonus episode, okay? So we did a limited number of those just from TYT's perspective, even though we know we're losing money on it. You can go to tyt.com/join to take advantage of that. Those will probably run out pretty soon. So then we thought a lot about how can we get this wonderful community to help one another, right? And we're asking you guys from time to time to upgrade because it makes a giant difference for us and allows us to do more reporting and so much more content, right? So one of the ways that we came up with was if you sign up at $25 a month, and some of you can do that and we'd love you for it, we're gonna subsidize one other person to get a $1.99 membership that can only afford that, right? If you sign up at $50, we're gonna subsidize 5. If you sign up at $100, we're gonna subsidize 10 of those. Now I know that's a lot to ask, so obviously do whatever you can, and if you can't do anything, that's okay. We love you anyway, just watch the show. Even if you just subscribe to us on YouTube for free, that also makes a big difference. So we appreciate everyone trying to help in every way, and we just appreciate you watching. But members do sustain us. So if you can, please help out both us and other folks that can get the show at that $1.99 by going to tyt.com/join, either join or upgrade, and you'll see all of your options. So thank you guys for understanding and for helping one another as we try to get not only the truth out through the show, but also to drive positive change in the world. And we love doing that with you guys. I'll have more of your comments in the next break. Thank you. All right, back on TYT, Cenk and Anna with you guys. I asked for membership during the social break we had, and here we go right now. Christopher Johangen, David S., Molly Says, Amanda Hobson, all just joined by hitting the join button below. Now, everybody that gets YouTube channel membership going forward gets the bonus episode, and we're gonna have a great one tonight about the hypocrisy of the right wing on the use of the N-word. And then I'm going to read one fun YouTube super chat. Ray Turner, AKA the Bearded Dragon, wrote in, Anna, excellent Welsh pronunciation last night.
I don't know what that means. Oh, yeah, someone wrote in a comment and it had some stuff in there, some Welsh stuff in there.
Okay, well, this is the worst thank you I've ever seen.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Okay, thanks guys. All right, what's next?
All right, so. Joe Biden is calling for a full investigation into the origins of the coronavirus. And he is, of course, referring to some plausibility regarding the lab leak theory. Now, this story's been developing. I've been holding off because there are all sorts of questionable actors at play. However, it does appear that there is some indication that a lab leak in Wuhan, China is the origin of the coronavirus pandemic. Now, let me be clear, it has not been proven yet, but the previous thought of it being literally impossible was inaccurate. Now, of course, people also felt that it was nothing more than a conspiracy theory based on who it was coming from. Someone like Donald Trump, who most people, I think, do feel a little skeptical about. However, a report on the origins of the COVID-19 virus by the US government and its national laboratory concluded that the hypothesis claiming that the virus leaked from a Chinese lab in Wuhan is in fact plausible and deserves further investigation, which is why Biden is calling for a full investigation into that. Now, the study was prepared in May of 2020 by the Lawrence Livermore National Library in California
and Laboratory.
Laboratory in California and was drawn by the State Department when it conducted an inquiry into the pandemic's origins during the final months of the Trump administration. So what makes this study important is that it was done by a reputable organization. And so that's part of the reason why Biden's taking it seriously. That's the reason why the State Department's taking it seriously. And so I'm uncertain about whether or not we're actually gonna get to the bottom of it, but it is important to keep in mind that this theory is plausible. And if it is proven to be true, I think that there are some pretty serious consequences for our institutions, which are already dealing with, honestly, a lack of trust among voters and Americans in general.
Yeah, so I'm really disturbed by this story. So when coronavirus first broke, we found out that there was a virus lab in Wuhan. First thing I thought is, well, that's an awfully strange coincidence. So a virus naturally broke out right next to a virus lab. It could happen, but probably the odds are against it. But you know what, I trust the scientists. And so that is why I'm really discouraged by a letter that Lancet put out. And that's a very respected journal, and I relied on that letter. And look guys, there's fog of war in not just war, but in many things that happen quickly, where we haven't gotten all the facts yet. So sometimes there's an active shooter and people say, oh, he's a Christian terrorist, he's a Muslim terrorist, he's this, he's that, it's personal, it's not personal. And there's also a wild theory he's going out there in the first 24, 48 hours, right? I can give you 1,000 examples from etc. And in this case, the science was unsettled for so long because it was a novel coronavirus, right? It's a novel virus. And so we counseled you all throughout, be careful with the information that's coming out. Let's listen to the scientists, the collection of scientists. But Some things in science are very well settled, like climate change and gravity. Those are settled, right? Now there's the people who want to manufacture doubt about them, usually working at the oil companies and the people that fund that, right? But there are things that are not settled. Where did coronavirus come from, etc. So when Lancet put out a letter from a collection of doctors saying it is pretty much definitely not man-made, I believe that. That is why the erosion of trust in these institutions is deeply problematic. It leads people to wild conspiracy theories when you find out that some of the best journals didn't do it right. And so they should do a deep investigation as to who signed on to the idea that it was definitely not man-made. Because now we find out, no.
There's a possibility.
And guys, understand that it's not settled today, right? There's a lot more work to be done on it, so we don't know for sure. But now they've opened up the possibility of, oops, it might be man-made.
Right, and
that's a very large oops.
And the central issue here is the type of research that some of these scientists do in these labs. It's known as gain of function. And so I think that the scientists who signed on to this Lancet letter condemning anyone who called into question whether this was a lab leak was really fueled and motivated by potentially like their self-interest and a fear that the way gain of function is funded, that research is funded, could become an issue, right? So I do want to read you a few excerpts from the letter that the Lancet had published on its website early on in the pandemic, again, condemning anyone who says that it was a lab leak. And now it turns out that there is some possibility that it was a lab leak. Again, it hasn't been proven. I want to be clear about that. But they wrote at the Lancet that the rapid, open, and transparent sharing of data on this outbreak is now being threatened by rumors and misinformation around its origins. We stand together to strongly condemn conspiracy theories suggesting that COVID-19 does not have a natural origin. And when they talk about natural origin, what they're referring to is humans getting it from animals, like eating bats, for instance. That was one of the things that was pretty prominent in the beginning of the pandemic. Now, conspiracy theories, they continue to write, do nothing but create fear, rumors, and prejudice that jeopardize our global collaboration in the fight against the virus. We support the call from the Director General of the World Health Organization to promote scientific evidence and unity over misinformation and conjecture. But one thing that I should note is that a World Health Organization advisory board member, his name is Jamie Metzl, was disgusted by that statement by the Lancet because he felt like there was politics at play. He explains that in a little more detail in this clip. Yes, it's on Fox News, but I think what he says here is important. Take a look.
The question is, going forward, what was the motivation? Because apparently that Lancet statement was organized by Peter Daszak, the president of Echo Health, that funneled the money from the NIH to the lab, and he didn't want the gain of function narrative getting legs.
Yeah, so there's a lot there. Certainly, many people, or the small number of people actually who were raising this issue in early last year were labeled conspiracy theorists.
Right.
I know because I was one of them. And yes, there were some people who were called right-wing nuts, but I'm not a right-wing nut. I'm actually a progressive Democrat. And so for me, the question isn't, is this a right-wing or left-wing thing? It's just, let's look at the data
and just
be honest. And you're absolutely right. That Lancet letter published in February of last year was an outrage because without sufficient data, the authors of that letter declared that it's very, very likely a natural origin and called anybody like me who was raising possible alternatives a conspiracy theorist. And one of the reasons why I've called for Richard Horton, the editor in chief of The Lancet, to step down is because I feel that letter, it was not data driven science. It was scientific propaganda and thuggery. And Peter Daszak, you correctly point out, manipulated that process behind the scenes, hiding the fact that a number of the signatories were on his payroll and in many other ways. So that's why we need data-driven science.
Yeah.
So I think he's right there. And look, this is the problem. It's not just like the right wingers who don't trust our institutions. people in general in America right now don't trust our institutions. They don't trust the CDC. They don't trust our corporate media. They don't trust our politicians. That's part of the reason why when someone like Donald Trump utters that it was a lab leak, people like me, to be quite honest with you, dismiss it because he said all sorts of insane things, including injecting disinfectant in order to fight the virus if you contract it. So this is the issue. This problem is only going to be exacerbated by this story, even if it's proven that it wasn't a lab leak. I don't even think it matters at this point. The institutions in this country have failed the American people. I don't know what to believe. When this story first broke, Cenk, I was like, I don't know, do I trust Biden? Because Biden has all sorts of warmongering rhetoric in regard to China. Is this part of that? Right? So it's hard to know who to trust and who to believe. And that's an issue in this country.
Yeah, look, in this case, I'm glad Biden called for an investigation. I would not go any further than that. We are not in favor of necessarily of sanctions or war or any insanity, right? No. You can, please, for God's sake, everybody, you do nuance, right? So let's talk it through in this particular case. So you can tell, you know, Fox News 101 is to use so-called progressives to attack progressives. That this is not one of those cases. You know, people that they use like that, they don't often refer to right-wing nuts on Fox News. And I don't know if you could tell, but when he said that, Ducey was trying to get him off of that. He tried to interrupt when he said right-wing nuts twice, right? So this is a real scientist who was right. It appears was right from the get-go, right? And he's so right about Lancet and that Peter Daszak who wrote the letter and got others to sign on to it. Because actually calling legitimate things like this scientist was saying as a possibility to investigate, calling those conspiracy theories, nothing helps conspiracy theories more than that.
Exactly, 100%.
Because then you go, wait a minute, but Gulf of Tonkin, we know that the America was lying about that. Look, I would argue the JFK killings is a preposterous government explanation, but everyone in mainstream media goes, oh no, conspiracy theory, right? On the other hand, there's tons of actual conspiracy theories that are nowhere near true, including one we're gonna cover later in the show today about how if you take the vaccine, metal sticks to you, right? But then the conspiracy theorists like the Alex Jones of the world, and now some on the left, get to go, oh, well, you see that? You can't believe anything, so it must be the aliens. Or it must, everybody's a crisis actor, etc., etc. So that's why I'm so mad at Lancet for ruining the credibility of some of the institutions that we used to trust. Because the government is one thing. You always take what the government says with a grain of salt, if you're actually a real reporter or actually follow the news carefully, right? That doesn't mean the government's lying about everything. And it also doesn't mean the government's telling the truth about everything. The conspiracy theorists say government lies 100% of the time. Mainstream media says the government tells the truth 100% of the time. That's preposterous, right? But scientists actually generally do tell the truth, right? Mm-hmm. And so do doctors, etc. That's why this one hurts so much.
But also, let me just note that, yes, when we think of the government, I think oftentimes we think about elected politicians, Democrats, Republicans, or what have you. But the government also includes organizations like the CDC, right? And when the CDC and Anthony Fauci like start the pandemic communication and messaging off with, don't wear masks, it's actually counterproductive, intentionally lying to the American people because they know there's a mask shortage and they don't want ordinary Americans to go out and buy masks so nurses and doctors have access to them. That leads to people losing trust in these institutions. It's a problem. It would have been far better for Anthony Fauci to come out and just simply say, listen, we have a broken system where we rely and exploit, we rely on and exploit cheap labor in other countries. And since we can't rely on that, you know, supply chain right now, we have a shortage of masks. And we need to make sure that doctors and nurses have access to them. Please don't buy the masks. You stay home, shelter in place, you'll be safe. He didn't do that though. They lied and said that masks are counterproductive. And that kind of messaging, again, leads to this environment and climate of distrust.
Yeah, and look, both on Fauci and Trump, let's do nuance there. First, when the heart of what Fauci said throughout the crisis, which is wear the mask, get tested, and we need the PPE, and then of course get vaccinated. We're all true, right? But we called him out immediately on the thing that wasn't true, that you didn't need masks in the beginning, as Anna just pointed out. It's possible to say Fauci got one thing wrong and other things right. Like, you don't have to fall into a camp of either I despise Fauci and he should be arrested, or Fauci's a saint and never did anything wrong. And I'll call him out again. The other day, he just said yesterday, basically, if you're criticizing Anthony Fauci, and he uses his name in the third person, you're criticizing science. No, no, that's not true. You're not infallible.
Right.
You're not the only scientist in the world. So you can see where Fauci is right and you can see where Fauci is wrong. Use your own judgment. And on Trump, last thing, he didn't get it right. He didn't go talk to that scientist. He didn't go talk to the other scientist. He didn't talk to any scientist, right? He's just like, I don't know, I don't like it. I think it might have come from China. A broken clock is right twice a day, right? And so if he showed that he had actually consulted the scientist, then I would say, oh, well, okay, no problem. Even though I don't like Trump, I've given him credit on other things, right? And I give him, he didn't consult any scientists. You think scientists told him to inject bleach into your lungs? Okay, no. And so, and he wasn't right on 90% of what he said about coronavirus.
Exactly, which is why it was so easy to dismiss the lab leak story. But now, you know, luckily Biden is calling for an investigation. We'll see if we get down to the bottom of what the origin of the virus is, and we'll go from there. But I think at the end of the day, the key takeaway from this story and this whole debacle is the very institutions that have already lost trust among the American people are not making the situation better for themselves. We're continuing to lose trust. So, all right, I'm gonna do one more story before we go to our second hour break. So let's do it. A prominent anti-vaxxer testified in the Ohio State House to raise her concerns about an alleged side effect of the coronavirus vaccine that you may not know about. Watch.
What is it that's actually being transmitted that's causing all of these things? Is it a combination of the protein, which now we're finding has a metal attached to it? I'm sure you've seen the pictures all over the internet of people who've had these shots and now they're magnetized. They can put a key on their forehead, it sticks. They can put spoons and forks all over them and they can stick because now we think that there's a metal piece to that.
That was Sherry Tenpenny. She's an osteopath and she believes genuinely that taking the coronavirus vaccine magnetizes you. And there was another person who actually stood up and testified the same thing and in fact wanted to demonstrate how accurate this conspiracy theory really is. Let's take a look at that.
We were talking about Dr. Tenpenny's testimony about magnetic vaccine crystals. So this is what I found out. So I have a key and a bobby pin here. Explain to me why the key sticks to me. It sticks to my neck too. I got those. Yeah, so if somebody can explain this, that would be great.
Listen, obviously we're gonna have the substantive discussion about this in just a moment, but my favorite part of that video, other than the fact that her demonstration failed miserably, were the people behind her who were making wonderful facial expressions. So we have two videos to share quickly. Let's take a look at the first one.
Explain to me why the key sticks to me. It sticks to my neck too. I got those. Yeah, so if somebody can explain this, that would be great. Any questions?
But she wasn't the only one who had that reaction. One more video for you all. Let's take a look.
Explain to me why the key sticks to me. It sticks to my neck too. Got those. Yeah, so if somebody can explain this, that would be great. Any questions?
But it didn't stick. It didn't stick. She did the demonstration. It didn't stick. It didn't stick. And she said, can someone explain this to me? It didn't stick.
Yeah, we can explain it to you. your theory is wrong. There, I just explained it. No, that first woman wins the internet, okay? Where she was like, okay. Look, we're gonna do the experiment too, because the first expert said that she saw it on the internet, so it must be true.
It must be true.
And I swear I haven't done this before. I'm fully vaccinated, so let's try it, okay? So I've got the keys here, and let's see if this works here. Well, we just disproved it. Okay, because you saw it on the internet, so it must be true. Okay. No, look, guys, there's the funny part of this with, does the vaccine make you Magneto? No. Okay, it doesn't make you any of the X-Men. It doesn't make you, you don't magically go to the Marvel Comic Universe. None of those things happen. The 5G is not a plan by Bill Gates to kidnap children and put them into the 5G magnet and whatever the craziness you believe. But okay, so that's obvious, right? But the two things that flow from it are devastating. One is, it's not obvious to a lot of people, and they live with us, right? So a lot of folks look at that and think, yeah, oh yeah, that makes total sense. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I bet. Yeah. And think about it. You know that everyone who believes that tried it. They tried to put a fork on their head. They tried the key thing I just tried, and it didn't work. But they still believed it.
It's right? it's. What do we do? What do we do? She did the demonstration in real time, and still asked, "Can someone explain this to me?" Yeah, I'll explain that the key did not stick to the side of your neck. You should know that, but okay. So your theory is null and void. It's nonsense. No, but Jake, like, what are we gonna do? And that's the other thing. So to Miss Tenpenny, she says it's all over the internet. No, it's all over your Facebook feed.
Yes.
Because you clicked on one conspiracy theory story, and Facebook, with its algorithm, serves you up more and more and more of that conspiracy theory. So she logs into Facebook and she's like, everyone's seeing this, right? Everyone is seeing the exact same feed I'm seeing that's like littered with insane conspiracy theories about the coronavirus pandemic. No, not everyone sees it. And I think it is a problem with how these algorithms on these social media platforms work. They keep people in these ideological bubbles. And at first I thought, all right, well, it keeps you in this tribal mentality in regard to your political affiliation, right? If you're a Democrat and you're clicking on things that are friendly toward Democrats, you're gonna be stuck in that ideological bubble. But no, it's far more nefarious than that. If you're clicking on Alex Jones content, then yeah, you're gonna be radicalized into all sorts of conspiracy theories or believing all sorts of conspiracy theories, because that's what the social media platforms serve you up through their algorithms over and over and over again.
Yeah, so look, there's the innocent part of this where, like, my dad, first time he went on Facebook, and I told this in one of the bonus episodes for the members, a while back when it first happened, he goes on Facebook and he starts clicking on Turkish news because he's Turkish and he's curious about that. And then he calls me one day and he says, America all of a sudden very interested in Turkish news. Because he thought what he sees on Facebook is what everybody sees on Facebook. So he thought, oh my God, America's gone crazy with their need for Turkish news, right? So, but it's funny now, and it's funny if you know it, but to this day, a lot of people don't know that it's just serving you what you seem interested in, right? Not what everybody's seeing. But more importantly is the second part, which is people are used to thinking that if you see it in print or you see it as a video, that it must be true. Now, I don't wanna go back to the bad old days where the mainstream media were the gatekeepers and they had their own set of lies, etc., right? And their own assumptions and their own things that supported basically multinational corporations, right? I like that there are no gatekeepers on the internet, but, and we are largely online, so I don't want you to disbelieve everything you see online, obviously, right? But you've got to use your judgment and you've got to look at the source. So no, not everything you see online is true. There's nonsense, wall to wall nonsense online. So please, for God's sake, use human judgment. And so no, and by the way, why don't you just do the experiment? Okay, say let's say you didn't get vaccinated because you were worried that you're gonna have magnets stick to you and the traffic poles are gonna bend in your direction and all that stuff, right? And you probably know at least one person who's been vaccinated, ask their permission and go, hey, brother, I heard that you were magnetic. Can I just try it for a second? And then you'll see they're not magnetic. It's insane. It's not true. So and look, you should have known that not everything you see is true, because we already have Fox News and we've had it a long time. So yeah, please get break out of your bubbles, check the source and make sure that it's from someone credible.
All right, that does it for our first hour. We're gonna take a short break, and when we come back, we have one of my favorite stories of the day, conservatives having an epiphany about how rigged our housing market is and then thinking they're the first ones to discover that. Lots of fun. Don't miss it. And then later in the show, are we gonna have any fun today other than that?
Yeah, I love that nun who's got the gambling habit.
Yes, a nun with a bad habit. Yes.
Oh, zinger! That's later in the program.
All right, stick around.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members only bonus content and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.